Roberto asked me to introduce our speaker for this evening, and it is a privilege for me because Mac is a friend. I've known Mac for several years now. He is the student pastor at Pantego Bible Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He is a man whom God has changed. I hear stories because he graduated from the school where I serve as chaplain, and they tell me lots of stories of the old Mac, and now I know the new Mac and see what God has done in his life. And I know he has a heart for God, a heart for students. He is perhaps the favorite chapel speaker of students at Pantego Christian Academy, where I serve as chaplain. And I'm honored to have him here this evening to share God's word with us. So without further ado, let's give Mac a warm DCCYC welcome. Mac Shirley.
Yes, changed indeed. If you knew me in high school, then you would not want me up here. You would not see me qualified to be bringing the word tonight, nor probably would I see myself qualified to do that. But like I said, my name is Mac. I live in Mansfield, Texas, and I work at Pantego Bible Church in Fort Worth, where I oversee junior high and high school student ministries, and I love it. I also work at an organization called Youth World that reaches low-income children in South Dallas, and we have a summer camp we do there, and it's awesome. We love impacting those kids. And so, let's see, where to begin? I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old at a camp. So if you came here and you don't know Jesus, I'm praying that you will before you leave. It changed my life, and I'll never forget it. Since then, I have graduated high school, which is a big deal. Hope that all of you do. Any of you not planning on it? You should change your mind. Then I got married to a beautiful, beautiful woman. She's not here. I wish she was. I would show her off to you, and I would stand. Maybe she could preach if she was here. She's a nurse. She's a labor and delivery nurse, and so she delivers babies all day. And we just were in the delivery room. Well, they kicked me out because apparently they said it's weird if I stayed in there. But while my sister delivered her baby, my wife got to be in there and help her deliver her baby, and so that was exciting. So now I'm an uncle. And people keep asking me, how does it feel, Mac? They say, how does it feel, Mac, to be an uncle? And I say, just like every other day. Just like every other day. That's what I say usually. It feels great. I love being an uncle. If you're an uncle, then you know that the bar is set really low for uncles. You don't have to do anything. I changed a diaper. I changed one diaper. It's like, woo, best uncle ever, you know. You show up when the kid's like, you know, having birthdays, you give them candy. That's it. That's all you got to do as an uncle. It's great. Best thing ever. Best thing ever. Well, I also have a dog. My dog's name is Harley, like the motorcycle, but with an I, because she's a girl. So my wife was like, got to put an I on it. Makes it a girl's name. Anyways, she's about 24 in dog years, which makes her like, I don't know, like 3.5-ish. Wait, 24 in human years and 3 in dog years. So anyways, we treat her like she's a kid, and we dress her up in clothes and stuff, and take her to the store, and well, really, we just take her to Lowe's, Home Depot. All the other stores are like, you can't bring a dog in here. I'm like, why not? She's really good. She's well-behaved. So we never put her on a leash, and people will always come up and say, oh, your dog is so well-behaved. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And then I'll look over, she's like peeing on something, or I'm like, oh, no. She jumps in the water, like shaking on everyone, getting very wet. I'm like, no, stop it. So anyways, I don't have any kids yet, but we treat her like she's our kid, and so we love her, and we love our sweet family, and I'm really excited to be back here. This is my second year here at camp with you guys. I'm loving it. Hey, was anyone with me last year when I spoke to the junior hires? Oh, you came back. Awesome. I'm so glad. That's good. So I'm looking forward to what God has. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to go ahead and open them up to Hebrews chapter 6, actually. That's your theme verse, and I want to read that as we start off tonight. While you're turning there, just, you know, remember, you got to bring your Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bible, what are you thinking? This is the one time when you most need it. Look, you got people not bringing their Bibles, man. Slackers. Well, bring your Bible. We're going to be going through it and reading it, spending time in it. You're going to want to be spending time in that all week long. So here we go. Let's read here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Here's how it reads. And you've probably heard the verse. Like I said, it's your theme verse. It's your theme of the camp that we're going to be digging through all this next week, all this coming week. Here's what it says, starting in verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone before as a forerunner on our behalf. The crazy thing about this verse is when I came to you guys, when I came to the rally, some of you guys were there, some of you weren't. When I came to that rally on Wednesday night, the Lord was real. I didn't know which verse was the theme verse yet, and the Lord was just really putting this on my heart, putting this on my heart. And so I studied and studied. I was like really looking through the verse, and I was going to teach on the verse, and I was like, man, I don't know. Something in me was just like, don't teach in the verse. Don't teach on it. So I picked another verse, and then I get there, and it was the theme verse, and I was like, awesome, because this was so heavy on my heart. And so we're going to be going back to it several times as we're sharing and digging through. But I want to pick apart just the surface level of the verse, if that's okay tonight. It says right here that there is an anchor for our soul. And the anchor is rested in a hope. And the hope is to be found in the inner place. And it's referring to previous times where the holies of holy, like where you would experience God, would be this inner place. God would dwell inside a tent or inside a building, and you could go in, you know, into that area, and it was, you know, you had to wash yourself and do these rituals, and you could go in a little deeper and you have to do some more rituals, and then there were only certain people that could go into the most holy place. Really where the presence of God was. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, which is what we just sang about in so many of those songs, because of the love that he has for us, that God gave his son, and Jesus died on the cross for us. So you might have heard it said, the veil was torn, right? The curtain to the holies of holy was torn. And we get an opportunity. Mac, I get an opportunity. You get an opportunity. Because of that, this week, to experience God, to be in his presence and to worship him. And you get an opportunity to have a hope that so many people don't get. I was texting a lady just maybe an hour ago, and we had been praying for her for 3 days, and she hurt her knee at a camp last week, and she was just hoping and hoping and hoping that she wouldn't have to have surgery and all these things. Well, she texted me with terrible news. She has to have surgery. She like took her kneecap, apparently was like on the side of her knee. Her ACL is torn. Just terrible stuff. It's going to be 9 months after surgery, 9 months of recovery and all these things. And my heart was so heavy for her. And I'm trying to picture if, I know that she knows Jesus, and so I know her relationship with God, but I'm trying to picture if it was someone that didn't know Jesus and didn't know the hope that's in him. Man, that could ruin someone's life. And there are people that don't know that. And so as we dive into these next few days spending time together, I want to start at the right place. The fact that we have an anchor. And that anchor is surrounded around a hope that's in the love that God has for us. And I'm always thinking, every time I'm speaking to students, I'm always thinking, okay, well, what's beyond this conversation? So what's going to happen when you leave tonight? What's going to happen when you leave camp? And you just got here, and I'm already thinking, like, God, what are you going to do in hearts this week? And I would love for God to begin to do things. And when the conversations that you have and the worship that you have, for him to begin to work in your heart, and you begin to to live it out and to see fruit from it and to see it in your time as you're reading God's word. But something that I've learned, but I know you know this, it makes sense. And it's that you can't give something away that you haven't experienced. And God designed us. He designed us to go and to have conversations and to share with people and to talk with them and to laugh with them and to enjoy with them. He designed you guys to have fun in the rec games you're going to play and in different chants that you're going to do and team camaraderie and the worship. He designed all of that. But if you haven't experienced God's love, then what would be the point of any of it? And I'm not just talking, I know there's people in here that maybe have never begun a relationship with Jesus. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking to everyone in the room, and I wonder if you have. You look at the past 6 days of your life. Close your eyes, think about the last 6 days for a minute. You look at the last 6 days. Have you been experiencing God's love? Have you been thinking about it? Have you been talking about it? Have you been walking in it? Has his love been an anchor to your soul? Open your eyes real quick. I want you guys to turn here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in your Bible. It's the very last chapter of 1 Corinthians. I believe there's two keys in here. I think there's so many ways, I'm sure, to experience God's love. But I think there's two keys that are right here in this passage that are going to help us tonight and moving forward really experience God's love. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 13, and we're also going to read verse 14. Here's what it says. Now, keep in mind, he's written this whole book. Now he's written this whole chapter, and he gets to the end, and he's leaving some final words, right? And the last words often are the most important words. He's summarizing so much of what he said all through this book and all through this chapter. Here's what he comes to, and he says this in verse 13. He says, "Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." I think you can grasp the essence if you have experienced God's love. If when you look at someone's life, you say, "Man, David, right? Okay, David. All that David does is in love. Therefore, he must have experienced love. I love my wife. And I remember the first time she tried to turn me down, and I did not let her. And now we love each other because I have tricked her into loving me." And I have experienced her love, and she has experienced my love. We share that love together. You walk around people and their heart is hard and they are rude and they are offensive, they are mean and they are harsh, and you know that they're not experiencing love. You know that it's not in their heart and it's not in their life. So as we look in here, the first one it says is watchful. It says be watchful. And I think it is so important if this week, if we're saying, "Okay, God, we want to experience you," okay? And to remember, to experience God is to experience love. God is love. So, God, we want to experience you this week. We want to experience you in worship. We want to experience you while Mac is up here blabbering his mouth. We want to experience you during rec. We want to experience you during lunch. God, we have come to this camp to set aside all the regular routines of our life. Parents and responsibility in school and sports. We've set aside extracurricular activities so we can come here and we can experience you. The first key is to be watchful. I wonder what people came this week that are just, they're longing for friendship or relationship. And earlier when we ate in the cafeteria and we ate the food, and I had about 7 of those pickled okras. Anybody like pickled okras? I don't know why I like them. I just love them. Had 7 of them. And we were eating in the cafeteria. I wonder who was sitting in the cafeteria feeling like they weren't connecting with anyone. I wonder who was longing for someone to walk up to them and talk to them and encourage them and look them in the eye. And there's this, last week I was at a camp and I was taking a nap. How many love a good afternoon nap? Praise the Lord for afternoon naps. And I'm laying there, I'm taking an afternoon nap, and I hear the worst thing you can ever hear during an afternoon nap. 2 people loudly arguing. And I'm like, you are murdering my nap right now. What is wrong with you? And so I hear them, and this is what I thought. I thought, David, if I can go and stop their arguing, then I can keep napping. So I did that. So I got up, set my blanket aside, walked out the room, opened the door. They're right outside my door, of all the places to argue during my nap. There's a whole camp. You can argue anywhere you want. Anyways, I walk at the door, and it is 2 brothers. Psh, wouldn't you know, 2 brothers. And what are you guys' names? We'll go with David, and what's your name? Okay. What's your name? Christine. Okay, we'll call the 2 brothers for the sake of the story. We'll call them David and Christine, okay? Christine will be the older brother, and David will be the younger brother, all right? Okay, so David and Christine, they're 2 brothers. They're outside, and they're arguing outside my room. I go out there, and I open the door, and I'm like, David, Christine, what are you doing? And David is just in tears flowing. And I'm like, stop crying. No. I felt bad for him, and I'm like, what is going on? And this is what I've heard so far, okay? As I'm hearing the argument, I'm getting close, I'm opening the door. All I could hear is they were arguing about going to the pool or not, okay? And one of the brothers, David, who's crying, is wearing a swimsuit, no shirt, and a towel, and tears all over. The other brother is wearing jeans, a jacket. It's summertime. Yeah, this guy's a jacket on. Way to go. A backpack and tennis shoes. Completely not ready for the pool. And David, the crying brother, is telling Christine, the non-crying brother, how badly he wants to go to the pool. And Christine is adamant about not going because he does not want to put his cold swimsuit on. That's his excuse. And I'm like, what? And so I said, I know the brothers, and I was like, okay, Christine, older brother, come here real quick. Hey, do you mind? Okay, so we have a quick conversation. And I go, dude, what's the deal? Why is your brother crying? Like, is everything okay? And this is what he says. He says, it's going to hurt when I put my swimsuit on because it's so cold. So I don't want to go swimming. And I'm like, how cold is your swimsuit? Typical cold, like, you know, like, whoo, ha, ha, and then it's fine, and then you live. Like, that's typical cold. Is it actually made of ice? You know, I don't know. And I ask him, I say, Christine, isn't it just going to be cold for just a minute? And he says, yeah. And I said, listen, buddy, this is your little brother, and you love him, and he is struggling right now. He is crying about going to the pool. I said, I think you should be a good big brother, and you should go to the pool with him just for 30 minutes or an hour. And you could see, and he was like, oh. And I'm like, I think if you don't, you'll really regret it. I said, I'm an older brother. Trust me on this one. You can do whatever you want. This is just my advice. All right, go back out there and keep arguing. Just argue further away from my bed. And I watch him. He goes into his room. He puts on his swimsuit, right? I open up the door, I peek out, and he's like walking with his little brother out, and they're going to go swim. So cute. Little brother's like drying the tears. It was a puddle on the ground. Mess up here. I got to clean up the aisle 4. The key is being watchful. There was an opportunity and a chance for this older brother to really make a special moment with a younger brother. But he didn't want to because he didn't want to put his cold swimsuit on. It's ridiculous and silly. It makes no sense. I can't even find a place somewhere inside my small brain where I can rationalize that. But here's the deal. You, if this is okay, if we can get this like authentic this fast, I'm not sure. You do the exact same thing. You do the exact same thing. Before you're going to bed, you think about the fact that you should read your Bible and the fact that you haven't read your Bible, and then you don't do it because you're too tired. You think about the fact that there's someone behind you in line that you can let go in front of you, or that there's someone else who needs something, but you've already taken it, and you could give it up, but you're too selfish. And I wonder if God looks down at us, and I don't know because I'm not God. I wonder if he looks down on us and he sees us and he thinks the exact same thing. He thinks, you don't want to experience me because of a cold swimsuit? That's your excuse? You know me and you've tasted me and you've seen that I'm good and you've worshiped me and you've professed to give your life over to me, that I will be the Lord of your life. And yet when it comes to experiencing me and pouring out love that I've given you to other people, you don't? Because we're not watchful. We're missing opportunities. I wonder what it would look like this week if we committed to being watchful. I wonder what the experience would be for the junior hires that are basically right below us right now. If you, high schoolers, committed to being watchful for them. The next one, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. The key, the idea behind an anchor, the idea behind being rooted in something and something having a solid grip and a solid hold. My friend has a houseboat. You ever been on a houseboat? It's so sick. It's like a 50 or 60 foot houseboat. Okay, it has 3 beds on it, 2 bathrooms. It's a 3-bed, 2-bathroom house. That's crazy, okay? And there is a tiny anchor that holds it still. That's crazy. You can be on the houseboat. We had, I think, like 35 people on the houseboat a week ago. We're having fun. We're swimming. We're jumping off it. Boats are driving around it. There's an anchor holding it in. Stand firm. Like I said, I work at this organization called Youth World, reaches low-income kids in South Dallas, and there have been either 400 or more than 400 kids all in one building, all at one camp, just like all going crazy, okay? And they're having fun, and they're playing around, all this stuff. Well, here's the thing about all the kids at Youth World, and most kids in general. And honestly, if we're being really honest, you and I kind of share the same mentality here. They are hungry for love. Like, they are hungry for attention. Every one of them is coming up to me and they're saying things that make no sense. Like, look at this picture I drew. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that is the worst ever. But out loud, I'm like, that's the best ever. Yeah. And this one kid comes up to me and he goes, they call me Mr. Mac. Okay, that's what they call me. So it's like, hey, Mr. Mac. Anyways, they run up to me and they're like, Mr. Mac. That's what he said. I'm sweaty. And I said, yeah, you're really sweaty. And he just smiled at me and stood there. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to go walk around him. I'm like, steps right in front of me. Like you do on accident, but he did it on purpose. He's 5. And he goes, Mr. Mac. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'm sweaty. You're so sweaty, you're right. Like, all right, see you later. Nope, stands right in front of me again. Not kidding you, 3 times. He goes, "Mr. Mack." And I said, "Yeah." "Let me guess." He goes, "I'm sweaty." I'm like, "I'm sweating now. You're making me sweat because you're so sweaty." He was persistent. So persistent that I knew he was sweaty. Here's the deal. You could look at the kid. He was so sweaty. It was obvious that he was sweaty. But he wanted me to know. And when I tried to go around him, no, he stood right there. Tried to go the other way? No, stood right there. He wanted my full attention. He wanted me to know that he was sweaty. Are you like that little kid? Is your heart the same? That you have to let God know what's going on? That you want him to know what's happening inside of you, and you want to talk with him, and it's just exploding out of you, and even just like you're so hungry to experience God, you're just telling him like the routine stuff that's happening. You're just pouring out to him, "Hey God, you know, I'm kind of hungry right now, and I'm not really feeling that energetic, and I'm not really feeling that smart right now, and I'm not really feeling that great right now. God, I just want you to know who I am. And I know, God, that you already know who I am, but I just want to experience you. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I want to experience your love." And you see, if you've begun a relationship with Jesus, there was probably a time, if it's not right now, and I pray it is right now, but there was probably a time when that was you, when you were like so eager to know God and to read his word and to spend time with him and to experience him. I love talking to new believers that are just hungry for what God's doing in their life. They just want to talk about it all the time, and it's all so new and it's so real. They want to explore it and they want to search it out. My wife and I have been having conversations lately about, and we don't know, we don't even know. We've been having conversations about just like deep stuff, you know, like, What is the depth of God's sovereignty? What is the depth of free will? And what is the depth of predestination? And what is the depth of God's, when he says he predetermined all things? What is the depth of that? And we're not trying to figure it out. We're just trying to talk with each other and just know about it and just explore it together. And it's been so fun. Do you explore? Do you search out who God is? As I look back, different periods of my life, different times, seasons of life, I'll see that there's often obstacles that will get in the way. Like, I'll be experiencing God and I'll be really living for him, and like my worship, it's just right, and it's in tune with who God is, and I'll have times where I'm reading the Bible consistently and like I'm really getting in the word, and I can tell because it's affecting my life. And then I'll have other times where it seems like something has slid in the way between me and God. And it seems like as I begin to get closer to God and closer to God, I realize there's always something that's trying to get in the way. There's always something. There's never a period of time. Like, I can reflect back, and there's always something that's trying to distract me from experiencing God's love in fullness. I wonder what it is you've been wrestling with. I wonder what it is that's causing you to not be able to stand firm. I wonder what it is that's taking your focus so you're not able to be watchful for the opportunity God has for you to experience his love and to give his love. What's in the way? Unless you came here and you're perfect, which is no one, that would be a great question to write down. God, what's in the way? And another great question to begin to dig around and think through would be, God, how can I begin to allow you to remove that? To remove that distraction, that obstacle. We're going to be spending a lot of good time together. I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't know what your expectation was when you came to camp this week. And probably each of you has a different expectation. I don't know what you hope happens at camp or what you're trying to get out of it or what experience you're looking for. But here's what I'm praying this week for you guys. I'm praying that you would experience God in a new, fresh way. In a way that ignites your heart to want Jesus Christ to be the anchor of your soul. And I hope we can get to the right place tonight, that you can begin searching your heart and saying, God, what is it that's in the way? What's standing in between me and experiencing you? How can you begin removing that? How can God begin removing that from your life? Here's what I want to do. I want to ask the some of the band members that they come up here real quick. And they have a song they're going to play in response for us. And after they do, I have just maybe 2 more minutes that I want to share with you guys. But I want to give you guys some time to reflect. And I hope I'm not jumping in too deep for you guys and moving too fast. But on the way down here, I was praying for you guys. It was about a, I don't know, 3-ish hour drive for me. And I was praying for you guys. And I was saying, God, what is it? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you're, how are you stirring in hearts? And what do you want to do this year at camp? And what's happening in the lives of the people that are going to be showing up? And I feel so strong that there are things that are standing in between you and experiencing God. And I do not want to go one more day or one more hour, especially one more week, with you kind of living for Jesus. And here's the great thing, is when you begin to search and you begin to identify what it is that's in the way and how it's affecting you, you don't have to do a bunch of work to make it right. Jesus already did the work. He already made it right. That's the best news. Is when I realize I've been falling short and I realize that I haven't been giving my all to Jesus, and I realize that I haven't really been experiencing him, and I look at my life and I examine it and I'm like, I'm just like that older brother. I'm sitting here choosing not to fully experience God's love over a wet swimsuit, over something silly that doesn't matter. I'm choosing to be frustrated over a past hurt that's gone. I'm holding on to an anger towards my parents based upon something they did or something they said or how they're judging me. And here's the deal. I don't have to hold on to the anger anymore because I'm set free from that. I wonder what it is this week God's going to open up your eyes to that you could watch, you could see. I wonder how this week he's going to plant your feet firm. And I wonder if you're willing to accept that freedom that he has for your life. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us. I'm going to ask when I do if the band would come up here and lead us here. Would you begin to ask God? Maybe you haven't even thought about it in a long time. Maybe you haven't thought about how deep God's love is. How much he loves you and how real the experience can be when you experience God's love. Maybe you've just been coasting since last year at camp, or maybe you've just been coasting for the last few weeks or months. Maybe for you it's just been work, the routine. Read my Bible, go to church, do these things, worship, raise my hands, yeah. You've been missing that authentic experience of who God is. We need that. Maybe it's you that needs to cry out to God and say, I'm sweaty. God, I'm really sweaty. God, I'm messed up in this way. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner like this. I'm holding on to frustration or anger or fear or guilt or shame. I'm holding on to addiction. I'm holding on to a relationship, and that's where I'm fine. That's where I'm rooted. That's where I'm anchored. It's not in you. Maybe you just, your heart needs to cry that out to God. Whatever it is. Spend some time, reflect, seek. Experience his love. They're going to sing. We're going to worship. After this song, I'm going to come back up and close us out. Let me pray for us. God, you are good. Your love is deep. And it is our source. Would we be anchored in your love, God? We pray this in your name.